Good morning, Criswell College. Come in, make yourselves at home, find a seat, snuggle up next to somebody. Kind of cool in here this morning. Oh, wow. Never in 100 years would I have guessed that would have happened just then. So that was fantastic. Okay. I'm Dr. Jeff Campbell. I know most of you. If I don't know you, grab me after chapel and introduce yourself and let me introduce myself to you, because I do like to know the students. And if we have new students, I need to meet you before you get in my class. So that would be my encouragement. I want to get to know you before I have you in a class. I don't want to wait that long. So let me make two quick announcements. The first one is this. There is a game night scheduled for February 8th. From 7 to 9, it's going to be right down here in Horner Hall. There'll be food provided. We think it's going to be pizza. That's what I've been told. And so if you want to show up, hang out, play games, eat pizza, and just enjoy one another, that's going to happen. Mark that date down, February 8th from 7 to 9 p.m. And then secondly, I want to mention tutoring to you, and I want to introduce you to our new student success manager. So you know Michael McGee has left us to go and serve in ministry. It was a good move for him and his family, and we miss him. But we have a new student success manager, our own Josiah Presley. So Josiah, stand up, wave, yes. So Josiah is walking where you're walking. He's been where you are, and he wants you to be successful. Now, one of the ways you can be successful is take advantage of tutoring. So if you're getting into the semester and you think there's some things that are stacked up that you need some help with, go to tutoring, find the help you need, learn some strategies. But listen, tutoring is great for students who are struggling, but it also makes a good student a great student. If you are a good student, you're maybe a B student, but you want to be an A student, there's some strategies they can probably teach you, help you with your study time. And so tutoring isn't just for if you're about to fail a class, it's just so you can do your best. So anyway, take advantage of the tutoring. Those are my two announcements. Now, let's bring Dr. Creamer up to introduce our chapel speaker.
Thank you, sir, and for the hug. So I have just a couple of quick things to say, and then I'll introduce our speaker very briefly. The quick thing to say is this. If the Lord gives me opportunities sometimes to go to churches and preach a lot of Sundays, and sometimes they bless me, you know, with a gift of this or that. And so a church gave me some cash just recently, and so I just had this desire to stand up here and say, if you, as a student or a staff member, just had a need for $50. I'm just saying, somebody, you just woke up this morning and said, man, if I just had $50, this need would really be met. Then I'm not going to make you come up here in front of everybody and get it. But after chapel is over, if you'll grab me, I've got it in my pocket, and it's just dying to get out into somebody's hands. Not much, but it might make a difference to you. And if it makes a difference to you, I'd like for you to have it. So there you go. And it is, I know it might seem humiliating to you to go and ask somebody for $50, but I'm not telling you to ask me for $50. I'm telling you to tell me which one of you needs it so that I know who to give it to. So if you don't mind, do that right after chapel. I would love to be able to do that. I say that in light of this. I'm going to introduce Dr. Waddell differently today, rather than talking about his education, how long he's been at the school, and all that kind of stuff, which is all great. So woohoo, yay, you're great. This is the thing I want you to know about Dr. Waddell. Sometimes you just don't have a full picture of ministry or what people bring to ministry when you're young on one side, or if you just only have your own world, if you don't see outside of your own world. And so I just want to make sure you know that I don't know anybody. In fact, I know that nobody has been as effective as Dr. Waddell in the time I've been here at Criswell College, and I've been here for 14 years, at just establishing relationships with people who learn to trust him and rely on the advice he gives them for their church, their ministry, their family, or whatever. There is something very strange about Dr. Waddell that people really do have unbelievable confidence in him almost immediately when he begins to do ministry. And so he has gone to churches, and in those churches, earned their confidence, given them advice, led them down the right road, helped them do better than before, and the people in those churches have given more in their churches and then given to us as a school in a way like nobody else has done. And so I just wanted you to be aware. There's something weird going on when he gets up to speak, so pay attention and see whatever that might be. But I really do thank Dr. Waddell for his faithfulness in the ministry, faithfulness to his family, faithfulness in education and scholarship, but also just faithfulness to share the message about what the gospel is about, what Criswell College is about, and inviting people to participate in that. So I want us to pray and ask the Lord to bless in the music and worship time, including the sharing of the word that Dr. Waddell will bring for us in just a few minutes. Let's pray together. Father, you've been gracious to us beyond anything we deserve, and your mercies are renewed every single morning. We're grateful for them today. We wouldn't be here without them. We pray that you would fill Dr. Waddell with your spirit and bless him as he speaks. You have blessed us with many relationships because of the work you've done through him over the last 14 years. I pray that you would continue that this morning and help us to gain in the calling you've given us to represent you, your gospel, your truth, and the opportunities to serve that you put in front of us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks to our musicians. You know, to sit there and what is that thing called? I don't even know what that's. Whatever that thing, the wooden box. It would scare me to death to try to keep the time and the rhythm. I mean, really. And the drummer is always sort of in the back, right? The drummer's creating a rhythm, creating something for us to follow. And it's greatness, it's talent, it's skill and ability. I mean, Tobin has skill and ability, but to sit back here and sort of just get lost in the picture and to give us something to ground what we're doing is amazing. I get to spend time with a lot of amazing people. I got to go to the Mavs game. Some of you have read about this. Dr. Creamer has written some stuff, and I remember being down, we were down on the floor. We had a friend of the college who was able to take us down there. And so I've got this, you know, this friend of the college who blesses all kinds of folks financially. And getting to sit next to Orville Rogers, 101 years old, who holds all these world records. We'll talk more about him in a moment. And then to have Dirk Nowitzki walk over and shake his hand and say it's an honor to meet Mr. Rogers. And then a few seats down is Dr. Creamer. Literally, I don't know if there's, I mean, I'm sure there are smarter people, but he's the smartest person I know. And I'm reading through The Count of Monte Cristo right now, and when Dante digs, or he doesn't dig through, the Italian guy digs through to his cell and says, oh, whoops, right? I thought I was going to get out. My calculations were off. And Dante gets to hang out with this guy. And Dumas says, you know, he just didn't understand anything the guy was saying. He knew he was, here is this patient, virtuous, godly, older Italian intellectual cleric. And he goes, wow, teach me. He's just like, teach, he wants to soak it up and be taught. I remember I was talking a moment ago to some folks over here, and we were talking about how tall those basketball players were. And I remember, not basketball, but football, I was in Central Market in Southlake one day, and I turned around and I went, well, just like that, I was looking at this guy's chest, and I looked up, and Jason Witten was standing behind me. And I went, he's bigger than it looks on TV. I mean, this guy, amazing, people, and not just the characters in The Count of Monte Cristo, but being able to write that, really, to write that well. There are, and I used to like to watch Alex Honnold. Anybody know Alex Honnold? Rock climber, free solo rock climber, no ropes. Yeah, now I didn't see the movie Free Solo. Anybody go to the Angelica or whatever it's called and see that a few months ago? But somebody told me, I don't know, they told me that in the movie, that they show him, you know, soloing, and he hasn't done just El Capitan and all these things. He's done lots of free solo routes, straight up, thousands of feet, no ropes. He maps it out with ropes, and then he climbs solo. And he's climbing up, and you know how some people climb and then they sort of camp out on the wall, right? They have ropes and they clip in and they sleep there on the face of the wall. And he climbs up and he gets to their little camp and he goes, anybody have a chalk bag? I forgot my chalk. And they go, dude, you don't have any ropes. He's like, I know, but I forgot. I don't need those. I just need some chalk. And then he just keeps going up the wall. I'm like, that is amazing that man can do that. God's greater. God is greater. Commentator John Steck on the Psalm says, unquestionably, the supreme kingship of Yahweh, in which he displays his transcendent greatness and goodness, is the most basic metaphor and most pervasive theological concept in the Psalter, as in the Old Testament generally. It provides this notion that the supreme kingship of Yahweh provides the fundamental perspective in which man is to view himself, the whole of creation, events in nature and history, and the future. The whole creation is his one kingdom. To be a creature in the world is to be part of his kingdom and under his rule. To be a human being in the world is to be dependent on and responsible to him. To proudly deny that fact is the root of all wickedness, the wickedness that now pervades the world. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 29. Our text is Psalm 29 today. It sort of rounds out or closes out a few psalms that allude to and talk about the house of God, the temple of God, wanting to dwell in the house of the Lord. Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve and strips the forests bare. And in his temple, everything says, glory! The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. This is God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would bless it and us as we hear it, that your spirit would work your will in our lives for the glory of Jesus. Amen. So strength, magnificence, power, majesty, glory, shock and awe on the part of God, his worthship, his greatness, his sovereignty. We'll look at these as we work through this passage together. There are several psalms that lead into this one. Psalm 23:6, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 24, verse 3, to ascend into the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place. In chapter 26 and verse 6, he goes about God's altar. Chapter 26, verse 8, I love the habitation of your house. Chapter 27 and verse 4, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Chapter 28 and verse 2, I lift up my hands to your holy sanctuary. And then we just read verse 9, chapter 29, in his temple everything says glory, right? To express the light and the brilliance and the magnificence of God. Yahweh, in these 11 verses, is mentioned 18 times. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. His voice 7 times. Glory 4 times. To ascribe 3 times, or to worship, it says that once. Or the waters or the flood 2 or 3 times, depending on how you count it. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. To ascribe something is to attribute a quality or a cause to that thing. To whom do we ascribe these things? To Yahweh, the great I Am, who delivered Israel, who provided for Israel, who passed over their homes because of the blood of an innocent animal. Who should do this? Who should ascribe all these wonderful attributes to God? The sons of the mighty. I've mentioned a few of them. I'll mention a few others, right? All the athletes and the climbers and smart people and old guys who are 101 who run, you know, and earn world records. I guess at that age, you know, there's not a lot of competition. I was able to have dinner with Orville a few weeks ago in his cafeteria. Thankfully, I parked on the wrong side of his building. And so I said, well, I've got to go back through the cafeteria to get to my car. He said, well, just join me for dinner. And I got to sit and listen to his story about how he rode an old gray mare to elementary school. Yeah. And how he said, I said, what do you eat for breakfast? He said, I eat oatmeal and a lot of fruit. He said, I usually don't eat lunch because I found that if I eat too much, I gain weight. He said, what are you going to order for dinner? I said, what are you going to order? I'm getting what you're getting. He got a bacon turkey sandwich, so I did too. When I went to Liberty University, I was a 21-year-old freshman because I had just spent 3 years in the U.S. Army, and I got to live in what Liberty called the senior dorms. So I was in the dorm laundry room a few across the parking lot from the dorm, and this big offensive Liberty lineman walks in, Barry Rice. Barry's a minister in Florida now, or maybe he's back in Virginia, I don't know. 280 pounds. And I watched him over the years. I went to these weightlifting competitions with him, and I watched him compete in drug-free powerlifting competitions, and I saw him bench press 550 pounds. He's this big, gentle giant. And he said to me, he said, what's your major? And I said, music? He said, really? He said, you need to come to Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We need somebody to lead our songs. I was like, yes, sir. I'll be there. Strength, majesty. And I got to go to the games and watch him put a little towel on the back of his pants that, you know, said Philippians 4:13. And I would watch him we would go into juvenile detention homes together. And he would do these power team things where he'd take a big phone book and tear it in half or bend a steel bar around his neck or blow up one of those hot water bottles until it exploded his spit all over the kids. It was awesome. That was the best part. I went back to Cincinnati where I grew up, and I saw my old karate teacher's karate teacher, Duffy. I saw Duffy, and we went to his studio, and he's 65 years old, and he moves like a 25-year-old. I said, what do you do? He said, I stretch for an hour a day. Right? I just stretch, and he does all of his other stuff as well. But let me show you a picture of Orville. You got a picture up here, Thomas, somebody? Is it up there? All right. Yeah, so that's me and Orville at the Mavs game. I mean, he runs, he works out, he eats healthy, he does what he ought to do physically. And he told me that night, he said, you know, I'm not afraid to die. He said, what I'm afraid of is dishonoring my Lord. He said, I just want to keep honoring my Lord until the day he takes me home. And then here's another picture. This is Chris Sharma. I don't watch Alex Honnold anymore. It creeps me out to watch him climbing with no ropes. So Chris Sharma, he uses ropes. And he's one of the best, right? In the climbing world, you have these rankings of difficulty from 5.0 to 5.15. And he's the guy, and from A to D in each one. And he's the guy who's done a 5.15C, right? He's probably the best in the world. Thank you for showing those. These folks are amazing, but God is more mighty. These are the folks, the sons of the mighty, the smartest, the strongest, the most powerful, are the ones who ought to ascribe to God, O sons of the mighty, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. You think you're strong, you think you're smart, you think you're wealthy, you think you have longevity. Let those people, all of us who think we're anything, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, the glory and strength that is due his name. He deserves it. No one else does. He created, Genesis 1, Colossians 1, he sustains everything, and in Revelations 21 and 22, he will make all things new. He deserves the glory and the strength that we would ascribe to him. And it says, worship him in holy array or in the splendor of holiness, whether it means that we ought to worship God as he is in his holiness, or whether we ought to, maybe the priests are to dress and be reverent in a certain way in holy array. Either way, it makes sense. And yet we come boldly, but we need to be careful. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, guard your steps as you go to the house of God. Draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. God help us, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God, for God is in heaven and you're on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Worship the Lord in holy array. He's worthy of all that we can give him. How does he do what he does? How does he do it? He does it with his word. His voice there is mentioned seven times. The voice of the Lord, verse 3, is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes the Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. This is Mount Hermon. You look at Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 9. This is all in the northern reaches of the nation of Israel. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve and strips the forest bare, and in his temple everything says glory. Imagine a storm coming in. I don't know, Dr. Bridger, they have storms in Israel coming in off the Mediterranean. Imagine a storm coming in into the land off the Mediterranean in northern Israel. The audible nature of the storm, it's loud. There's thunder, there's lightning, there's wind, waves, clouds, maybe even a tornado. It's powerful, it's majestic, and it puts the Baals to shame. These gods of Canaan that were thought to be the gods of the weather and the gods who could, the God of the storm, our God puts that God to shame. And this is Kadesh. This is northern Kadesh. There's Kadesh Barnea in the south. There's Kadesh a little south of Kadesh. So this is all going from the Mediterranean right across the northern land of Israel. And then this is what struck me. This is what drew me to this passage. Julie and I, my wife and I, were driving a few weeks ago, and we were listening to this psalm. And when it read, he makes the deer to calve, we looked at each other, and it just brought tears to my eyes. And I went, in the midst of all that power, in the midst of all that glory and majesty and strength and destruction, I'll refer to Dr. Bridger again. We were driving across southern Turkey and the desert, and we looked out off the side of the road, and there was a donkey giving birth, and the baby donkey was halfway out. And we stopped, and we took pictures, and we videotaped, and we're going, we're in the desert. It's hot, it's dry, it's dusty, and there's this mama donkey giving birth to the baby. And we just, I've got a video of it, and you probably do too. I walked all the way around. Pictures? Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. We're all four of us, Dr. Johnson and Tim Carney were there, and we were walking around taking pictures. And we drove out, and if you go into Diana's office, to the registrar's office, you'll see, I think, the picture there of me is holding hands with a guy, yes, praying. And I think we drove out to this place, and we got to meet with some people, and I got to pray with this guy. And if we were driving back, the donkey was standing up. Yeah, he was standing up. He was clean, and Mama had cleaned him up. And we thought, this is a brutal desert, and God is causing this gentle, precious gift of animal life to happen in the midst of this hostile environment. He's in charge of it. He knows the hairs of your head. He knows the birds, that what they need, the lilies of the field. It was shocking as I listened to this passage, and it said that he causes the deer to calve. We'll come back to that. The Lord sat as king, verse 10, at the flood. There's water all over, all throughout the Bible. Chaotic, disorderly, primeval state before God brought order to the universe and the earth, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. He caused the floodgates of heaven to open and the great fountains of the deep to burst forth. He drove back the Red Sea and parted the Jordan River. He dried up the skies in drought and then caused them to rain again. And now, today, Jesus has given us one of our ordinances, baptism, this symbol of our salvation. And so the Lord over the floods and the rains of destruction is the same Lord who walks us through the waters of baptism as a symbol of our salvation. But he's so much more than just king over the waters. I mean, that would be enough to be king over the floods and over the waters and the fountains of the deep and the floodgates of heaven and even the waters of baptism. It's one thing to be Lord over that, but it says at the end towards verse 10, but the Lord sits as king forever. After crossing the Red Sea in Exodus 14:31, it says, when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. And after their song in chapter 15 and verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Daniel 2 and verse 44, this feet of iron mixed with common clay and the statue. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Daniel 7:14, and to him, this one like a son of man who came up to the Ancient of Days, to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Man, we should just stop and meditate on this for a minute. I'm going through these pretty quickly. Do we get the gravity of what's going on here? Right? If the commentator was right, and I think he is, that everything else, it seems to just pale in comparison to who God is and his majesty and his power and his strength and his glory and his worthiness. And yet, right in the middle, he makes the deer to calve. He's got his gentle hand. You know, my friend Barry Rice, the offensive lineman, he was this gentle, strong. I mean, he married this little girl. She was 5'2", 100 pounds. And he's just this. And the way he would speak, I remember hearing him pray. He'd pray many times. He would pray, and he'd get on his knees, and he'd start, Daddy, would you do this? Would you do that? I'm thankful for this and that. And God is so much more infinitely great in terms of his strength and his power and his gentleness. But again, Daniel 7, verse 27, then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole of heaven will be given to the people of the saints, the holy ones, of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. And then, speaking of Jesus by the angel Gabriel in Luke 1:33, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Revelation 11:15, you know this from Handel, but it's actually in Scripture. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. What kind of God is this? It's the kind of God who draws men and women, boys and girls of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation to himself. This God of strength and majesty. And verse 11, we're almost done. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. I mean, those two aspects of the psalm, this he makes the deers to calve. He will give peace to his people in all of this strength and majesty and destruction. He gives us strength to endure suffering and persecution. Look at 1 and 2 Peter. He gives us strength to endure temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He gives us strength to live the Christian life. Look at Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 21. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so you'll know what's the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. He gives strength to his people. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He gives strength to his people. Do you lack strength? To him who lacks strength, Isaiah, right? You can mount up with wings like eagles. Do you lack strength today? I do. I don't have the strength to do my job. Neither does Dr. Cream. Neither do any of us. To do the work you have to do in your classes, to do the evangelistic outreach that God is calling you to do, so easy to go to Turkey and drive across the desert, see a cool thing, you know, when a donkey's giving birth and pray with a guy, and it's easy for him to speak Arabic. I fell asleep while he was sharing Christ in Arabic, right? up at the beehives. What are those things called? Haran, yeah. So I'm sleeping outside because there were cockroaches in the beehives. And I just listened to Scott sharing Jesus in Arabic with some locals. And sometimes it's really hard. We don't have the strength or the courage to share across the street. We need to. I need to. So do you. But God provides that strength. He gives strength to his people for whatever the task is. And then he gives peace. The Lord will bless his people, end of Psalm 29, will bless his people with peace. Peace with God, Romans 5, 1. The peace of God that passes understanding, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. The kingdom of peace, Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra. The weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So we get a taste of that strength. We get a taste of that majesty when we see a storm roll in, or when we see some other form of destruction and power. But then the voice of the Lord does these gentle things, like making the deer to calve in the middle of all his power and majesty. The God who uproots and tears down, who builds and destroys, is majestic and powerful, and he brings beauty and delight. Beauty and delight. Look for it. Look for it today. Look for it in each other. Look for it in the coffee shop. Look for it in, have you read Betty Smith, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn? Everybody read that? And she talks about this little flower that she sees just growing out of the concrete there in New York. And it's her life. It's her life that God was able to preserve and make precious in the midst of all the suffering and all of the struggle. The application for us in the midst of all his awful demonstration of power is to fall down and to worship and to humbly submit and to have no other gods, and to trust that he's holding us gently in his hand, and then to get up and to demonstrate both his power and his beauty, his peace. So we begin this psalm, we begin talking about the sons of the earth, these mighty sons of the earth, strength and power and majesty and sovereignty, and how those folks, sons of the mighty, ought to give glory to God. And then we see that he's gentle with us as well. There's a passage just prior to Psalm 23, believe it or not, it's Psalm 22. And it says in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 22, it doesn't mention Yahweh, it doesn't use that name. The song that we're about to sing that references it does. But Psalm 22, verses 3 and 4, "Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed or ashamed." As we meditate on this psalm, let's sing these words together.
Yahweh is holy. 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 Thou art enthroned on the praises of Israel. Thou art enthroned on the praises of Israel. And I will trust in thee and stand in awe of thee. I will bow and worship Yahweh, most holy. And I will trust in thee and stand in awe of thee. I will bow and worship Yahweh, most holy. Yahweh is holy. Yahweh is holy. Yahweh is holy. Yahweh is holy.
God, we're grateful for your love for us. We're grateful that in your strength and your majesty and your power, you've chosen to be gentle with us because of the wrath that was poured out on Jesus. Pray that we would place our faith and trust in him for our salvation, that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to model your strength and your gentleness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for Dr. Waddell bringing us that message. So one thought that struck me as he was going through there, as the psalm begins, it talks about ascribing to the Lord. And so as he's preaching, I'm looking at my interlinear to see what word this is in Hebrew and all the good stuff we're taught to do here at Criswell College. It's the right thing to do, being that it's an imperative and being that very woodenly in Hebrew, it just means to give. But listen, we can't give God strength. We can't give God glory. He already has it. So contextually, as we interpret it, we say ascribe or something to the term of recognize, right? So it seems to me that as we walk through this world, as God continues to work in our life, as we continue in the process of being saved, we constantly should be reminded to stop and recognize who God is, to remember how powerful he is, how much respect he deserves, but also how gentle he is, which I think Dr. Waddell brought out very eloquently. So God is all those things, and he loves us. And so I think that's an encouragement. So I hope you were encouraged today. We want chapel to be an encouragement. We want you to come here. We are not a substitute for your local church, but we want to encourage you spiritually. And so we hope that that happens here as we lead you with the worship and the scripture, the preaching. So as we leave today, I'm going to pray for us. We'll be dismissed. Have a great day. And I hope you have a good day in your classes that follow. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for Dr. Waddell. Thank you for his ministry here at the college. And in particular, thank you for his sermon today. As we are encouraged through your word to stop in the busyness of all that's going on and just recognize that you are powerful, that you deserve our admiration, our respect. You deserve all the glory that we could ever turn your way. And also to recognize that you are gentle. You don't treat us as we ought to be treated. You treat us as a gentle father who is trying to encourage his children to move in the direction that they need to move so that they can fulfill their purpose. And so, Lord, in each of our lives, we pray that we would continue to grow into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.